right, guys, as you can tell, we're talking about marriage today. Last week, we were in Ephesians chapter 5. We talked to the women, their role as a helper. This week, men, you get it. We're talking to you guys this week. Now, the sermon title, Red, Green, and Manhood, this only makes sense if you've seen the Red, Green show. Anybody here seen the Red, Green show? Help me out, guys. Come on. If you are a man, okay, I will take your man card away. All right, never mind. So for Father's Day last year, my wife got me 3 seasons of Red, Green. Now, there is no better gift, unless it's bacon, for men than Red, Green, okay? Red, Green is a very eccentric kind of guy. He has the man pledge. You guys want to say it with me? I'm a man, but I can change if I have to, I guess. Okay? The man pledge. And so he's very relatable to men. And Red, Green, he gives marriage advice quite often, and he said, men, I'm speaking to you guys. I was watching this last Sunday night with my kids, and I told Rachel that I've got to share this on Sunday morning. He was speaking to men. He said, guys, let's think about this for just a minute. He says, when you go to a garden show, typically, what gender is at a garden show? Typically, you have a lot of women at a garden show. When you go to a car show, what do you have at a car show? Typically, you have a lot of men at a car show. Now, I'm going to change a little bit because I'm a guy who loves firearms. I will admit that, all right? I love my Second Amendment right. So let's think about gun shows for a moment, okay? Typically, you have a lot more men at gun shows, don't you, all right? And think about if you were at the fundraiser for John Swanson, there was this limited edition 150th commemorative anniversary of Nebraska statehood it's a Henry rifle, lever action, beautiful gun, right? If you were there, you saw that table was surrounded by men taking pictures. They were buying tickets to get this crazy thing in the raffle. It was crazy, okay? Let's think about this for just a moment, though. With the gardening thing, what do women do in gardens? Or plants, things like that, right? They're out there. They got their hands in the dirt. They're out there every day. They're pulling weeds. They're pruning dead leaves off. They're popping, they're deadheading, and they're doing all that stuff, right? And that's kind of how they think of marriage. Every little day we want to get out there, we just want to dig in a little bit and do something, right? And what do guys do with guns? Well, we're going to pick the thing up. We're going to hold a little bit. Say, man, this thing just feels good, right? I just love the way it feels. I'm going to buy this crazy thing, and I'm expecting that it's going to work for me without me having to do anything to it until I sell it, right? Or get rid of it. Whatever we do, right? This is what we expect as men. But nobody sells guns because you'd be crazy to do that. So you're going to keep this thing for your lifetime, and you don't ever want it to break down, but I don't have to do anything to it either. Sometimes that's what we think of marriage, isn't it? Women are in there all the time, constantly, and men's like, look, you're pretty. I love that. There's nothing broke. Why are we fixing it? Can we get an amen, guys? We're there, aren't we, okay? The little difference. Some of you guys are smiling. You're giving me some feedback here. I like that, okay? This is the difference in marriages. Last week, we talked about women as helpers. The women and their role as a helper. That's what they do. They love to help their man. That's why God created them. In Genesis chapter 2, we looked at that, how God created women to be helpers. Well, God created men for a role as well, and the role in marriage, but oftentimes, we don't really know what that looks like. You know, men don't have many good marriage role models, and most of us don't have good mentors helping us in marriage. Let's face it, Red Green, as helpful as he is, he's not really cutting it for us, okay? He gives us little things that, oh yeah, I can identify with that, but now what, right? So Red Green isn't cutting it for us. However, Ephesians 5, it does give us some good teaching on how we can be the man of her dreams. Because if you're like me, guys, you didn't just start this whole marriage thing to have it fizzle out 3 or 4 or 5 years, 15 years in, right? That wasn't the goal. You didn't want to marry this woman just to be roommates. That wasn't your plan. We want to have a good marriage. But what's that look like? How do we get there? That's the struggle sometimes for us as men. Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, 25 and 31. There's a pew Bible underneath the chairs there. It's page 1162. If you want, I've got an outline in the bulletin, just a fill-in-the-blank outline, which may help you out a little bit today, if you want to follow along with that. But Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 31. We're also going to read verse 33. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Jump down to 33. However, let each of you love his wife as himself. God, we're coming to you today. We're studying this whole thing on marriage. And Father, this is one of those things that many of us, we just don't fully understand. And I pray for your wisdom today as we look at what your word has to say and just some common sense things as we apply your scriptures to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, let's dive right in here a little bit, okay? The role of a man, we're going to understand the role of a man out of this passage is the role of a servant leader. That's the role of a man. God created men to be what we're going to call a servant leader. And you say, Pastor, how did you get servant leader out of that passage? It says man is the head, but I don't see how you got servant leader out of that passage. Well, again, the scripture as a whole always supports itself, okay? We was in class this week, and one of the students made a comment. They said, okay, we're understanding that if my theology, all right, if my theology isn't fitting what the scriptures say, all of the scriptures say, because we can proof text anything we want to, but if all the scriptures don't support my theology, then maybe it's my theology that needs to change, okay? So we understand that when all the scripture supports this, this whole idea of servant leader, let's look at it for just a minute. Ephesians 5:25 says this, husbands, love your wives. That's part we're going to focus on for just a second. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, why did Christ come? Christ came to what? Well, Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you see the word servant in here now? Men, we are to be servants to our wives because that's what Christ was for the church. We hear that phrase in Ephesians, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and we say, well, yeah, I'd die for my wife. I'd take a bullet for her, right? And most of us would. We honestly would. But how many of us are willing to serve our wives? That is a different question. God created us, and our role as men is to be servants to our wives as Christ was a servant to the church. Look at this again. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it, cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we're members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. These are things that men are supposed to do. Going back here for a second, we got to love our wives. God repeats it, and I'm going to tell you this again. I've said it before. We're going to say it again. God never commands us to do something that comes naturally. He never commands us to do something that comes naturally to us. He only commands us to do what comes unnaturally. Last week we talked about women. And in Ephesians they talk about submission and respect, right? And we understand that those terms, those do not come naturally to women unless they see themselves in the role of a helper. That's their role as a helper. And as they recognize what that role looks like, and as they understand to trust their husband, then those other things flow from that. But it doesn't come naturally. Men, our understanding of our wives, our loving our wives, nourishing them, cherishing them, all those things does not come naturally to us as men. It just doesn't. This is something we all have to do. And this whole idea of holding fast to her, showing commitment to her, these are things that we as men typically struggle with, right? I mean, college wasn't that long ago for me, and I can remember the women complaining, these men, they just don't show commitment anymore. They're trying to get their guy they've been dating for 5.5 years to show something, right? And he's just still oohing and aahing. Oh, it's pretty. What do I do with it, right? That's where he's at. They just want a little commitment. We want us to hold fast to them. All right. Ephesians 5:23, the leader part. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. This is where we begin to have difficulties now. We as men, we see this, and then we see this in the context of submission, and so what do? We begin to, hey, I'm the head, I'm all that and more, right? And this is the problem. Because we as men are not understanding our role of a servant leader. Key part being servant. All right, we see this, we look at this head, hey, I'm the head. My wife's got to do what I want her to do. The Bible says submit. Yeah, but she's the one that submits. Remember from last week? She does it on her own. You cannot demand it. Her submitting is a response to you. It's out of trust. If she doesn't trust you, she's not going to submit to you. You can see that in the Greek grammar when we're talking about, again, going back to that was a passive thing for the women. It wasn't an active, it was passive, all right? So men as a head, what does that look like? Well, in the book Rocking the Roles, we talked about this last week again, and they've got great information here, guys. For those of you who've been in the Bible study, you see this. For other men, you got to get this book, Rocking the Roles, because this will really shake your world a little bit. All right, Robert Lewis, William Hendricks, Rocking the Roles, he helps us understand this idea of headship. What does it mean to be a male leader in my house today? Well, headship means responsibility, not rank. your peers. You are not over her. It means you have the responsibility, though. And I'm going to go back to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, who ate the fruit first? Eve did. Eve ate the fruit first. But in Romans chapter 5, who's blamed for sin entering the world? Adam is. Well, where's the fairness in that? Adam had the responsibility to be the head. He was the one created first. He was the one that was supposed to be leading Eve. He did not, so the responsibility fell upon Adam. Men, the responsibility for your marriage falls upon you. That is the biblical truth. The responsibility of your marriage falls upon you. You think, well, that's not fair. Well, it kind of is. All right? But we as men, we have a role in this. We have a greater responsibility in this for the success of our marriage than what our wives even do. And God has designed our wives such a way to be that helper where if they trust us and they know that we're taking on our roles well and they can trust us, then everything's going to mesh a lot better. Now, it's not going to be perfect because sin is there, right? And none of us married perfect people, which really should, if you think you're perfect, then why did you choose the person you chose, okay? Because none of us married perfect people. We understand that. I have a good friend, Dean Thompson Sr. Dean Thompson Sr. was about 80 years old, great guy, but he would look at Rachel every Sunday in Omaha, and he said, you know what? Apart from that one decision you made about 15 years ago, you're a pretty good person. Why? And he'd just look at me and just shake his head. Why did you choose that guy, right? All of us, sometimes we have days like that. What was I thinking? Okay? It's normal. Marriage is normal. Sometimes you have those moments, what in the world was I thinking? Just embrace it. Everyone's there. We're all together in this. But men, understand, when it comes down to your marriage, you are the one ultimately. The decisions you make all the time, you're the one ultimately held responsible by God for your marriage. 1 Peter 3:7. I love 1 Peter 3:7. We're going to work for this phrase by phrase. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. You have the responsibility to your marriage. And what's your first responsibility? Is to understand your wife. How many of you understand your wife fully? If anybody raises your hand, I'm going to really shake my head at you, okay? Because we're like, I have no clue what to do, okay? And this is 5 minutes after marriage. Now what? The kiss was great, but now what, okay? And we're just confused with this whole thing. So, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Well, let's break this thing down just a little bit, okay? We're going to talk about this some, all right? As we understand this, living your wives in an understanding way, that means you've got to grasp what your wife needs. You have to grasp what it is that makes her tick. And you say, Pastor, I have no clue what that is. Well, congratulations, because today we're going to talk about that just a little bit more, okay? But husbands, understand, God has said, live with your wives in an understanding way. You say, I don't understand her. Okay, you have the responsibility now to try to understand her. All right, let's move on just a little bit. Headship means sacrifice, not selfishness. Going back to that understanding, it's going to take sacrifice from you to understand her. You may not like what you find. You may not like what that demands of you, but that's sacrifice because that's exactly what Christ did. Headship means sacrifice. See what Christ did for the church? The ultimate picture of sacrifice. We aren't to do the same things for our wives. We're supposed to have that great ultimate picture of sacrifice, okay? It's not selfishness. We are not the head to get what we want. Remember, it's not rank. It's responsibility. She doesn't submit to everything we want her to do just because we're over her. That is not the way at all right? So it's responsibility, not rank, and it's sacrifice, not selfishness. And guys, we struggle with selfishness, don't we? We want things our way. We do. That's kind of the human nature, but we do. We struggle with this. Men, we are to be sacrificial in our relationship with our wives. That's what the Bible teaches. Showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel. Can we sacrifice our wives, recognizing that they are the weaker vessel in this relationship? You say, well, what does that even mean? I've got an illustration I stole from Roger and Denise Friesen that I really like how it shows this. Illustration of a thermos. A thermos, you got the top up there, okay? The top is great, looks fantastic. And then you have this outer edge, okay, mostly metal. And on the inside, you have the vacuum part here, and then you have this little silvered glass container. That's how a thermos works, right? You have the outer edge, then you have a vacuum seal, and then you have this glass, most of the time a glass container on the inside, okay? Those pieces put together create a thermos that does its job well. What happens if you're missing that outer shell? The glass shatters. the whole thing falls apart. Men, we are the outer shell. Our wives are the weaker vessel, but just as important. Because if the glass is broken, it doesn't work either. Does that symbolize that just a little bit for you guys? Guys, we are to take care of that inner part of our marriage, the weaker vessel, our wives, because together we make a complete part. Together we make a whole. Together we can make a difference, a better, more effective difference for the world. That's how God created us. So we have our wives. She's just a little bit weaker on the inside, but just as valuable. It won't work without her. She wants to be your helper. We talked about that last week. She's designed to be your helper. Men, she needs you to protect her. That's what she needs. She needs you to protect her. She needs you to be the man, treating her as a weaker vessel, but just as important, equally important as you are. All right, so headship means duty and support, not domination and superiority, okay? Duty and support, not domination and superiority. We understand that, men, you have a duty to understand your wife. You have a duty to protect your wife as the weaker vessel. You have a duty to be with her. You have a duty to be the servant leader that God has called you to be. Focus on the servant part, and then after that servant part, then she will trust you more as a leader. And that's, if you get those two things confused, if you try to be a leader first and then a servant, you're going to lose her. You got to be a servant first, and then the leader part will come naturally. There's a reason those are in that order. How did Christ show that he loved people? He served them over and over and over and over again. That's how we see the love of Christ. And guys, if you want your wife to know you love her, what are you going to do? You need to serve. That's how God designed us. We need to serve. Since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And this is the key part here down 1 Peter 3:7. Going back for just a minute. You have a duty and support. Okay, headship means duty and support, not domination and superiority. And God places such a duty on that relationship that he says, if you do not live with your wives in an understanding way, if you do not honor her as a weaker vessel, your prayers will be hindered. That's how important marriage is to God. So guys, if you're sitting here today and you think, you know what, my prayer relationship maybe isn't what it should be. My prayer life isn't what it should be. A discerning pastor, if he heard that, would actually ask a question, well, how's your marriage? That's one of the first questions we would ask. How's your marriage? Are you loving on your wife like you're supposed to? Are you being the servant leader that you're supposed to be? Because you have such a duty, and God places such a huge priority on it, that he will hinder your prayers. He will not listen to your prayers if you are not being the man that you're supposed to be. That is the responsibility that we have as men, as husbands of our wives. Say, all right, Pastor, but I don't understand women. What do I do? You say I have this responsibility. You say I'm supposed to have the duty, but I don't understand women, okay? Frankly, women don't get us either. Let's be honest. They don't get us, okay? This is, and I'm coming to you guys today with a little bit of understanding. My second anniversary with my bride, whom I love very dearly, she was not as excited about the handgun for her as I thought she would be. Thank you for laughing, Janet. Why? That would have been awesome. I would have loved that, right? How many guys would have loved the new handgun for anniversary? Amen, right? We're all there. My wife was not that excited. And then she outshot me with it. Man, that was hurtful. All right, that was hurtful. But I'm telling you, we just don't get them. We don't understand women, and they don't understand us, these differences. Why? Robert Lewis tells a hilarious story of his first Christmas with his wife. He was a football player. He went to national championship. His team, as college, won the national championship when he was a lineman. So this is a very important thing for him, right? So for the first Christmas, he said, you know, every guy, you have the gift. You give him a lot of small ones, but then you have the gift. The one that costs you a lot, the one you put a lot of thought into, the one you know is just going to rock her world, okay? He says she opened her gift up, and her face just fell. It was 2 years, a two-year pass at the local YMCA. He thought, man, this is great. And she did not quite think so, all right? She left the room in tears, and she never went once. He said, I made payments for 2 years on that gift, and she never went once. Guys, we don't get it, do we? All right? We just don't. So this whole thing, but I don't understand women, is very true. I'm not going to ask for a vote. And how many of you guys, yeah, I'm there, Pastor, right? But let's think for just a moment. Let's try to understand this whole outside world for just a minute. And women, give us a break. Because physically, and many of you guys know this, when a boy is an infant, what happens to his brain? Well, he's flooded with this little thing called testosterone that you women love, right? Okay, shake your heads no. Fine, testosterone. This whole thing that makes men who they are. It makes us make guns out of bread at the age of one, okay? And we're running around going bang, 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 okay? You ever think about that for just a minute? I'm gonna do another bunny trail. Boys, it doesn't matter if they've seen TV or not, are always going around shooting things, right? Have you ever noticed that? We watched Winnie the Pooh when Alex was 1 and 2 years old. That's all we watched was Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh is not known for having guns on the TV show, right? And I can remember Alex at the age of one, we're going in a stroller, and he's got his finger stuck out of the stroller going bang, bang, bang. And I turned to Rachel, and I said, this boy has never seen guns in action. Never. And he's doing this. And I said, I wonder what the children of Israel were like going around when their kids were in bang, bang, bang. And their parents were like, what are they doing? Right? They didn't have guns back then. And boys are still going bang, bang, bang. Anyway, I'm digressing. All right, moving on. When the boy is a baby, he's flooded with testosterone. We have a right side, left side of our brain. That testosterone, as their bodies are flooded with that, that testosterone literally damages the connectors between the right side and left side of the brain. So men, to a large degree, only work on half of their brain. This is true. And you women, amen, Pastor, amen. Preach it, shake that bush, brother, okay? We know this, all right? Now, it allows us to focus really hard on those one task that we're doing, okay? Because we're not always going back and forth. We don't understand you women who are just, where did you go with that, okay? We don't understand that. But I just let, thank you. My wife's laughing at me here, all right. It's hurtful. So we understand that men's brains physically, we're damaged, all right? We're damaged goods. And so when we come to this whole understanding thing, guys, we know, okay, you know what? God made us this way. We're going to roll with it. So this morning, let's kind of roll with it, all right? Here we go. Your wife needs companionship. This is what she needs. She wants somebody to be with her as well. She wants companionship. She wants you to sit with her and maybe watch a funny movie together. Maybe watch a romantic movie together. Okay, this is maybe amazing to you guys, but the Lethal Weapons are not romance movies. All right? I'm just going to throw that out there, kind of clear the air. All right, men? It's not romance. Yeah, but they kissed. Okay, it's not romance, guys. All right? We're into women. They want something that's going to make them feel like a woman. They want you to experience that. Okay? They want you to be a companion to them. Your wife also needs security. She needs relational security. She needs financial security. She needs emotional security. She wants to know that you as her man are taking care of her. It's important to her. She wants those things. Security is huge. I was talking to a couple yesterday. They're getting married here in another year or so. And the woman was all concerned about how they were going to afford this. They're both college students, maybe college students after they get married. And they're just, that was her concern. She said, I just don't know how we're going to deal with this, how we're going to afford it financially. And I said, okay. Look, John, I talked to the fiance. I said, look, here's what she's saying. Security is important to me. How are you going to make sure that I'm secure financially? That's a woman's desire, is to be secure. So men, this is a big thing. She wants to know that she can trust. She can trust in you to provide for her emotionally, financially, relationally. She wants security. She needs significance. God designed her to be a helper. She wants to know, do you have a role? Does she have a role in your marriage? Does she have a role in your life? Is she significant to you? She wants significance. Are you glad that you married the woman that you're with? When is the last time you told her that? That's a crazy question to ask. When is the last time you turned to your wife and said, man, I am so glad that I married you? And when things are going south and she's mad at you, you can interrupt and say, honey, aren't you glad that all the men in the world, you chose me? No, don't say that. Trust me, don't say that, all right? So I've read. All right, I'm just saying, women want significance. They want to know that you honor them for who they are, that you appreciate them for who they are, that they have a role in this thing called marriage. And women want emotional responsiveness. And that doesn't mean crying when your dog dies, all right, guys? It doesn't mean that, okay? Men do have emotions. We have a very hard time expressing it. But again, God says to be what? A servant leader, to do things that are unnatural to us, to understand our wives, to love our wives. And our wives need emotional responsiveness. And that's going to be a challenge for some of us as men. But that's another thing that our wives need. Last week, we looked at the book Love and Respect with Emerson Eggerichs. We're going to continue that today here with some practical things from Emerson Eggerichs in the book Love and Respect. Again, if you've never read it, you should get this book. It's a great read, okay? It's fantastic. First thing he says is be close to her. Hold hands, hug. All right, men, don't freak out. Non-sexual touch. I know. What is it? Why would I want it? All right? But this is what she needs this. She just wants to be held. A back rub is just a back rub. All right? I know you men are dying right now, but a back rub is just a back rub already, okay? She just wants you to be close to her. Spend time together. That whole companionship thing. This is important to a woman. Okay? This is important to a woman. We knew somebody that after a year of marriage, his wife didn't want him to hug her. It wasn't even a year into marriage because he couldn't just hug her. And that's a terrible thing. Men, will your wife trust you to just hold her? That is very important for a woman. She wants you to be close, but that's all she wants. That is very important to a woman. Will you be close to your woman? Open up to her. Share your feelings. I know it's a swear word. A feeling? What is that? I wrote a paper of this in Grace. They had this room full of pastors together, pastoral students, and we were supposed to write a paper on a time in our life when we had a feeling. Some of those papers were very, very short. I'm feeling like I don't want to write this paper right now, okay? This one guy's like, I have never had a feeling in my life. The end. And that was it, okay? Men, we do not do this well. Let's face it, we don't. But our wives want us to share feelings. What are you feeling today? How are you feeling today? And he's like, I'm just feeling weird right now thinking about it, right? That's okay, that's a feeling. Spit it out there, okay? Laugh about it, have fun together. She's there to help you. So she will help you in that transition. Allow her to do that, okay? Pray with her. Pray with her is a very important thing. That was one thing that Roger Denise Friesen, when we had our marriage conference here just a few months ago, they said, men, when was the last time you prayed with your wife and not just over the food? Because we pray, right? We as individuals, we pray to God. We read our Bible together. But they said, when was the last time you prayed with your wife and only your wife? That was a challenging question. But that's opening up to the woman that God gave you. Pray with her. All right, we're going to keep moving. Be understanding. In other words, when she comes to you and she needs to talk, don't try to fix it. Last week we talked about how men want to analyze and counsel. We do. We see a problem. We analyze the problem. We fix a problem. End a problem. And the very next day, our wife comes back to us with the same problem. We're like, what in the world? She doesn't want to be analyzed. She doesn't want to be counseled. She just wants you to listen. And that's hard for us as men. Rachel's, you know, I've got a growth area here. I'll be completely honest with you. I have a huge growth area in this. Because my mind is, I'm just going constant. You can tell by how fast I talk some days. My mind is going constant. So she'll get three words out. Rachel will get three words out. And I'm already solving the problem and giving her the answer. Can I finish? That's what she tells me. Can I finish? And I'm learning. Oh man, babes, I'm learning, okay? But this is one of the growth areas in my own marriage. Is this whole thing that listening takes time. Uh-huh. Yeah, it does. Men, it takes time. Listen to your wives. Just listen. Sometimes it means we've got to apologize, if necessary. Sometimes it means trying to identify her feelings. Okay, honey, you look upset. She's biting her spoon in half. Yeah, good call, okay? You look upset. Can we talk about this? Is there something that I did? Just kind of feel her out a little bit, all right? It's dangerous ground we're walking on, okay? But, all right, honey, I want to be close to you. I want to understand you. Can we do this together? Can you help me understand? God created her as a helper. If you give her a little significance in this, it's amazing how she'll respond, okay? All right. Be a peacemaker. Now, men, what do? When we come home and our wife is biting the spoon in half, what do? Oh, office just called. I got to go back, right? We're back out the door. All right? I'm going to go to the wood shop. I'm going to go anywhere but in there. That's like a nuclear bomb ticking in the house. Don't make me go in there. And God's like, no, you know what, guys? Be a peacemaker. Walk in the door. Tread where angels fear to tread. Okay? Go in there. Give her the hug. All right, honey, I don't know if it's me or what, but talk to me. What's happening? talk to me. And let her spew. And she will, and it's okay. Because guys, let's think about this, guys. How many of you know, even in the middle of a battle, how many of you know that your wife loves you? Most of us, if not 100% of us, know that our wife loves us. We may not be sure she likes us, right? But we know the love is there because women are good at love. Women are great at love. So guys, you know, in the middle of this, if you go in and show any concern at all, she's going to love you. Yeah, she may not like you at the moment. We've had those moments. We've had those moments, all right? She's even been bold enough to tell me those moments. I love you, but I don't like you right now. She had a parent-teacher conference down in Omaha, and she was running late, and guess who got a speeding ticket that day while taking her to school? She gets out of the car, I love you, but I don't like you, and she walks off into the school building. Boy, it was a quiet day for pastor at work that day. Man, we got over it, we healed, and you guys will too. That's the good news. You guys will too. But you got to talk through it. Be a peacemaker. That's what God wants you. Don't run from it. Embrace it. Be a peacemaker. Colossians 3, actually I'm going to back up because I forgot this. This bottom phrase right here. Don't let bitterness set in. Don't let bitterness set in. Men, underline, circle, bold, whatever you need to do, because here's the thing. Men tend to become bitter towards our wives more than they become bitter toward us. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Okay, literally it says, when you look at it in the Greek, literally it says this, it's supposed to say do not. Pastor Bear messed up. Yes! Can I get a pinch hitter? Is there somebody who wants to fill in here for me? All right. You know, and I caught this when I went over my sermon last night, and I completely forgot to change that. So ignore what I said in yellow and put the word not in there. Do not become bitter towards them, okay? Why? Because men struggle with bitterness. We marry a picture, right? We marry an idea. And we thought, this is going to be great because here's my picture, here's my idea, here's my dream. And what happens? It doesn't turn out. And so what do? We begin to resent. We begin to become bitter. Men, we struggle with this more than our wives do. And I'm telling you guys, do not let bitterness set in. All of us have disappointments in our marriage. Every single one of us does. Are you willing at that time to be the servant leader? Say, okay, you know what? I'm going to choose to love. I'm going to choose to serve. I'm going to choose to lead regardless of what my wife does, because that's what God has called me to do. Will you be, at that time, the man? Because there are times in our lives, we've got to put, what do they call it? We've got to put our big boys on, right? We've got to stand up and be a man. Will you do that? Because bitterness can and will set in if we are not on guard. Do not become bitter towards your wives. Be loyal to her. Sure, you're committed to her. Going back to that Ephesians, the hold fast thing. The women want you to hold fast to them. Leave your mom and dad. Walk away from your mom and dad. Hold fast to your wife. Be committed to the woman of your dreams. And she will in turn look at you as the man of her dreams. Will you be committed to her? Will you be loyal to her? So when you're in public, what do? Will you speak highly of her? All right? Praise her around your friends. In front of her and sometimes not in front of her. Because it's easy. We go to spouse bashing clubs all the time, don't we? My wife, going back to that teaching thing, she worked with all the teachers in that school, private school, were women. And she said she hated going to teacher meetings because inevitably it turned into spouse bashing things. Okay? We're all bad at this. Guys, praise the woman you love. All right? Be loyal to her. Help her know that you appreciate her. Help her know you need her. Help her know that she has a role, that going back to that significance, okay? Don't look at other women. Don't be critical in front of others. Include her in your plans. Around the children, praise her around the children. Let your children know how much you love their mom. That's a huge thing for kids. It's a huge thing. They'll get grossed out and they'll pretend, right? But they'll live, okay? They'll be fine. It's okay to kiss your wife in front of your kids. It's all right to do that, okay? Guys, does your wife know that you are loyal to her? Does your wife know that you appreciate her? That you need her? That she has a role in your relationship? Does she know that you are loyal to her? Do your eyes wander in the malls? Can she trust you on the computer? Where are you guys? These are things that make a difference in your marriage. Esteem her. Thank her for what she does. Tell her you're proud of her. Again, when was the last time you said, man, I'm so proud to be your husband? How many wives heard that? I'm so proud to be your husband. That can be a huge thing for women. All right? God designed her to want that esteem. Open the door for her. Open the door. Couples who do premarital counseling with us, we talk about this whole thing. Guys, open the door for your wife, the car door. We tell the wives, the fiance at the time when they're getting married, say, look, if he doesn't open the door, just stand there until he does. You're helping him learn. He may not like it in the rain, but you're helping him learn. Open the door, right? And so then it becomes a habit. Habits are good. People see those little things, and they celebrate them. Doyle and Carolyn Hydorn, some good friends of ours from Corden, Iowa, they've been married over 50 years. Was it last summer they celebrated the 50th? I think so, or two summers ago. They have the best marriage of anybody I've ever seen in my life. They are just so madly in love with each other. When we were dating, we were part of the church there, and we said, you know what? We want a marriage like Doyle and Carolyn. So we went to them, hey, what do you guys do? Every morning they get up together, they make the bed together. I know, guys. All right, what do you mean make the bed? And sometimes it doesn't work because you guys are gone. I understand that. Every morning they have coffee together. Their work schedule allowed it. Some of us don't, but what was it? They took time to be together. So guys, do this. If you're traveling, Skype your wife every day. FaceTime or whatever you need to do. Talk to your wife. These are things that we can do, okay? So every day they spent time together. Every day they did these things, every single day. And what a wonderful marriage they have now because of this. So, value her opinion. Choose her over guy things. Now this is kind of weird. Why would I want to choose my wife over time to go hunting with the dudes? Well, do you like your wife? You want your wife to like you? I'm just going to ask the question. If you do, choose her over guy things, because that's what? That is showing her esteem. That's showing her you value her. All right, so what? Here we go. Remember, men, being the head does not mean you are superior. And this is key, guys, because we look at this verse, it's good. We say, hey, I'm the head, I'm the head, I'm the head, I'm the head. And she has to submit, submit, submit. Praise God. No, you're not getting it. Okay, you're not. You are the head, but you are not superior. You just have more responsibility. Congratulations. Tough being a man, isn't it, all right? You are not superior. And men, remember your marriage affects your prayer life, and this is huge. Because your prayer life is what? It's a barometer, a thermometer for your spiritual life. Guys, your marriage affects where you are with God. In a very significant way, it affects where you are with God. You want to be close with God? You better have a good marriage or be working that direction. That's what God wants from you. I know it takes two. It does. And sometimes, did you see the thing on Facebook this week, missing person? Did you see the missing person this week? Mother Nature? She's bipolar, suspected to be off her medications, okay? Sometimes we marry people who physically have something wrong with them. You think, God, what in the world? I don't even know what to do with this. God's like, are you serving? Are you leading? Yeah, you married an imperfect person. And they may not be doing what they're supposed to be doing, but are you, men, doing what you are supposed to be doing? That's the question. Your marriage affects your prayer life. It affects your spiritual life. And guys, how we treat our wives makes a big difference in our relationship with God. All right, women, your husband needs your support and positive feedback. Good thing God made you a helper, right? Because he needs you. He does. And so he may be treading out there a little bit, scared to death, because I don't even know what a feeling is. I'm trying to figure this thing out. Encourage him. Say, honey, you're trying. I can see that you're trying, and I respect you so much for trying. And I appreciate that. And it's going to get better. And we together, we can work on this, all right? Women, support your husbands. Help them as they go down this road, as they endeavor down this road. Try to understand how to be close to you, how they can esteem you, how they can honor you, how they can value you, all these things that they can do. Give them a little slack, but help them along. And I got a freebie for you. Women, this is important. Your man wants to be liked, not just loved. Because women, we love naturally. And we say to our husbands, hey, I love you, and you mean it. But for a guy, and here, how many of us here feel like our wives actually like us? Because that's a completely different question. Yeah, I know she loves me. How many of you feel like she likes you? Women, as you give your man that support and that respect and those different things that Ephesians talks about, as you come along as that helper, he's going to feel like you like him. And that is a life changer, because a man who feels like he's liked by somebody will bend over backwards for that person, which is why time after time after time, men fall into affairs, because all of a sudden they have somebody who likes them, and they respond to that. And men, that's our problem, but you see it over and over and over again. Men respond to being liked, to being respected. That's what men respond to. Yeah, love is important to a guy, but not as important to a guy as it is to a woman. Which is why God says to a woman, respect your man. Which is why God says to a man, love your woman. Do you understand the differences? Do you understand that? So women, for you, just one little challenge for you. It's going to come natural to love your man through everything. But there are going to be days that you're going to need to like him in spite of the fact that he's damaged goods, because his brain just ain't working right. And it's okay. We're all there. It's okay. Sometimes we need to live life and have Brian. We're going to close on this song. Sometimes we got to recognize in our life that we are all broken people. My wife is broken. I'm broken. And the same for you guys. But sometimes it's just choosing to live together in spite of the brokenness. Casting Crowns sang a song called Broken Together. And I want to close with this song. I'll close in prayer afterwards. Go ahead, Brian.